Kane Radio, AM 1240, the voice of the Tesh. Now you're tuned in to What's Happening.
Good afternoon, Acadiana. Welcome to Kane Radio's Tip Shot. Teddy Slime and Rob Boxcar Bazaron on air here with you. 367-1240 is our number as we'll be talking golf over the next hour or so. Now, next segment, have a special guest. You're going to need to stay tuned in for that as well. How you doing today, Boxcar?
Pretty good, Teddy. I'm sorry.
A little hot.
Once again, just kind of surprised by the sporadic nature of this rain we've been having. I was in Lafayette this afternoon working, and when I'm telling you they had torrential downpours, it must have been 2 or 3 inches of rain. And when I got back toward New Iberia, it didn't look like it had rained a whole lot here today. So still very disappointing overall with what the golf courses are facing with this. It's rough enough with the economy, but you add onto that all these wet days and. Makes it really difficult, but I guess that's the nature of the beast.
Yeah, thank God we're not in New Orleans. You know, they got land blasted.
Yeah, like a little,
from what I heard,
like a little
radio.
Mini hurricane.
Yeah,
that
certainly.
Hit, you know? Yeah.
All right, let's thank our sponsors, Coca-Cola Company. Want to thank Mr. Lee Tadford for sponsoring Chip Shots, along with a lot of other things here at Kane Radio. Tabasco and the McElhinney Company, Cecil Lee Mel and Angie Sharbert. And, of course, our golf clubs, without them, no local news. Squirrel Run, Spanish Trail, Sugar Oaks, Atchafalaya, and golfballs.com. We saw their commercial this weekend on TV.
Right. And I did go by there this week and actually bought a dozen of logo golf balls. And it goes to show you how impressive their customer service is. I went in. Everything was kind of last minute this week. But I went in, I think it was Monday afternoon or Tuesday afternoon, I'm not sure. But very late trying to get everything in line for the baptism this weekend. And Deacon Steve Van Cleve was kind enough to do that for my new grandson, Elijah James. And had a beautiful baptism yesterday. But I wanted to give him a little gift for doing that for us. So I had a dozen of Titleist golf balls logoed with his name on them. And I went in like at 4 o'clock that afternoon and placed the order. And by 8 o'clock the next morning, they were calling me to tell me it was ready. So that's just incredible customer service. And I would urge you, if you're in the market for clubs, logoed merchandise, we're coming up into football season now. So anything you want logoed with UL, they're officially licensed to put it on that UL logo on anything. It doesn't have to be something that is already in stock. I mean, it's something you can bring in. They can put that on there for you. But they also carry a real nice selection of LSU merchandise as well as the Saints. And actually, to be perfectly honest with you, I hate to say this, but you can get just about any team you want over there because they do ship nationwide. So if you're a fan, God forbid, of the Falcons or one of the other, I won't even mention the little Nicky team, but if you're fans of those teams, they have that merchandise as well for you to purchase. And great customer service, great individuals. They open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday and from 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Golfballs.com, 20,000 square feet of retail merchandise, the largest sales room in the South. At golfballs.com. That might be our special guest, Ed.
Never can tell. We'll get back to the locals. Yeah, well, we can do that too as well.
Hey, Boxcar.
Hello, you're on the air with Chip Shots.
It's Father Glenn.
Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Father Glenn. How are you today?
I'm good, man. How are y'all?
Oh, we're doing awesome. Doing awesome. We're talking a little bit about our local sponsors and how special it is for them to bring us this show every week, but really special is this golf tournament that's coming up on Saturday, August 19th, and it's a golf tournament that's been going on for quite a while now, and it's to help support the Haiti mission. It's the 23rd annual tournament, Father, and we're so honored to have you on as our guest.
Well, thank you so much.
Tell us a little bit about the tournament, Father. When is it, and what's going to be going on with the festivities revolved around the tournament?
Well, we it's going to be at 7:30. The registration at the Country Club in Abbeville at Million Oaks, and we're hoping to have as many folks as we can, trying to build it up to 200 players again in the next 2 years. But we have a three-course meal on during the play. We got drinks. We got sausage. We have drinks and sausage. We can have a good time, and it's for a good purpose. It's to build houses, to renew small business loans. Each one costs about $250 per year, and we start a little Amama. In a small business loan, we have a 99% remittance rate. We have now 814 mothers that are participating, and we're starting a tilapia project this next year to feed the children as well as grow crops, permaculture, etc. So we're really grateful to the Lord for helping us, and to you, to your station, and for the Cajuns down south. There's nobody like them.
Well, Father Glenn, I mean, obviously it's been a, you just see we think we're in a bad situation right now because the economy's kind of down, the oil field's kind of down. Yeah, maybe have to cut back on a few of our amenities, but people don't know what true poverty is until they visit places like Haiti. And the mission that you support is such a vital part of trying to bring these people out of that that poverty lifestyle.
Right, and this year, another challenge is we're low on our organization helping us out of Europe for food. I don't know if we're going to have any for the kids. And so anyone that can help us would be deeply appreciated. And one surprise that's going to be this year at the golf tournament, I understand that for the most strokes, the most swings, there'll be a prize. So I'm going to play, and I'm going to win.
Yeah, well, I don't think Teddy could win that prize. But, speaking of the tournament, once again, it is on Saturday, August 19th. Registration at 7:30. Shotgun start at 8 at Vermilion Oaks. And, by the way, we played there last Thursday in the Pro-Am, and I have to tell you, the golf course itself was in excellent condition. I thought it was really nice. It's $95 per individual golfer, $190 per twosome, and I like the format. It's kind of a unique format. It's six holes of stroke play. You play your own ball, six holes of alternate shot, and six holes of scramble. So that's also kind of a fun, unique format.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's Tom Carter started that 22 years ago, and it's the same format as the Ryder Cup. And even though we have only 18 holes, but it's fascinating. It's not boring. It's challenging. The folks love it.
Father, for those listeners that aren't golfers, tell them the name of your mission and how they can help out to support your efforts in Haiti.
Yes, it's the Cobinal Haiti Mission in Haiti, and the on the golf brochure, you have that address with Cross Catholic that they can send finances to, donations or prayer requests, and all the monies come to the mission, dollar for dollar.
Wonderful.
Father Glenn, tell us just a little bit about maybe the background of how you became involved with this mission. And, just kind of how it's evolved over the years and some of the maybe successes you've seen and still some of the challenges that are facing you.
Yes. I was asked to go there 28 years ago and in 89. And when I went, I didn't want to go because poverty was not in my train of thought, but I went and I fell in love with the poor, and I visited with all the bishops, and they gave me some land, and there was a lot of voodoo and human sacrifice and zombieism at the beginning, and then after 5 years through the Word, study the Scripture and the Blessed Sacrament, adoration, in 5 years, all of that dissipated.
Wow.
And we just have the spirit of truth now and light. And we started with just a few ministries. One of them was the feeding of our school kids, and that was 18 children in 89, and now we have 1,200 that we feed and educate each day. We have we had 350 baptisms this year, and we had 130 First Communions.
Wow.
So we're building the kingdom. We're establishing the works of the Lord, and the community of faith is just blossoming. And we have more folks coming now, you know, from throughout the country. In October, there's a team that's coming from Lafayette area. And so I'm grateful to all the little teams that are coming, and we're starting that tilapia project out of Minnesota and Nebraska. And then we also have the whole concept of the building of homes. We built over 550 now, cinder block homes with metal roofs. And it's a constant challenge to continue what we've begun. And the principle that operates the mission, that keeps it running, is the seven Catholic social teachings of the Church. And if anybody looks it up on their internet, type in the sentence, please send round pizza with square corners, and what's going to pop up is the seven Catholic social teachings.
Wow.
Every first letter stands for a principle.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, it's lodging, it's caring for the poor, solidarity, created in God's image. We're all equal. We all belong to a family. And why does God love the poor so much? And that's because they have no access to the necessities. So that's kind of what we're about. And I want to, again, give thanks to Cross Catholic Outreach, who have stepped into the life of the Haiti mission and have promised, you know, in their commitment, that the legacy that has begun will always continue.
And, you know, I couldn't help but think about the correlation of the tilapia project to the saying, you know, give a man a fish and you can feed him for a day, but teach a man to fish and you can feed him for a lifetime, you know.
That's right, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah,
yep.
And that's just awesome, awesome, awesome. You know, I actually at church just a couple of weeks ago, they had a young lady that spoke afterwards, and she had just got back from a missionary trip, and I really don't remember where it was at, but they had, you know, a large group went, and she was one of the few that wasn't in the medical field. So she didn't know how she would fit in a support group, and she ended up being a child caretaker. You know, so while the mothers were getting, you know, dental work done and things of that nature, you know, she was taking care of their kids, and she was just sharing about how rewarding it was to be a part of that missionary work. And I think people don't realize, you know, that you don't have to be a medical doctor or an eye doctor or, you know, any kind of carpenter or anything to go on these missionary trips and make a difference in people's lives.
That's right. You know, you know, we built a clinic for our visiting medical teams and surgical teams. And one of the main key men in Iberia was Dr. Mike Halfen.
Dr. Mike, right.
And Bud Lee, a retired assistant DA, has been there many times to help us with our Tabasco peppers. And, you know, so many key people. It's just amazing how God touches them.
So, Father, when you donate your time and you want to go on a mission of that sort, how long does it take? How long do y'all stay? And, you know, what kind of experience or whatever do people need to volunteer their time for that?
Well, you can get there quick. 6 in the morning, leave from Lafayette, arrive in Port-au-Prince at 2:34. And then as far as for, it depends on what your gifts are, and if you don't have any, just give us your hands and your heart, and we'll put you to work.
And usually they stay there a couple of weeks, or how long do they?
The ideal time for the first time would be staying
A week.
2 weeks is a good time after you've been there a few times. It all depends.
Right.
It all depends.
And Father, how many months out the year typically are you actually in Haiti as opposed to your efforts to raise funds in the States?
I'm in Haiti about 8 months.
Wow.
And I come back for fundraising and a couple of tournaments. And then we have our Lafayette Gala that John Foles comes and does the meal. And in this past April in Lafayette, we raised over $345,000.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That evening, you know, which speaks a lot to the Acadians.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. And again, we talked about doing that in a what's perceived to be a, and not perceived, but, you know, it's actually a struggling economy in Acadiana, you know, with the oil field downturn, you know. So, I mean, to have that kind of generosity. And, of course, you know, in Acadiana, the last couple of years, we've experienced our own, you know, many crises. And we think, you know, my God, these floods are so bad. And, you know, I'll lose my, you know, I have to move out my house for a while, you know, insurance takes over and all that. But we don't realize that's just, that's a Band-Aid compared to, you know, to what the, you know, the Haiti people face when they have these mudslides and these, you know, typhoons, monsoons or whatever.
Earthquakes.
You know, earthquakes just wipe out, you know, villages, you know. So, I mean, we're so blessed to have the gifts that Lord has bestowed upon us and to, you know, I think, again, I'm not, you know, certainly not trying to preach, but I mean, if you're ever going to have a key to get into the kingdom of heaven is to help the poor. You know, I think that's God's principle, you know, Jesus' principle teaching, you know, I mean, to bring yourself, you know, to you know, associate with them and to aid them and to try to help them out of their struggle. You know, it's not a handout. It's not just giving money. It's trying to help them get out of this cycle of poverty and learn how to, you know, become self-sufficient.
Right, right. And I want to thank Murphy Gilbo, you know, who's been chairperson and helping organize it for many, many years, and still does, and for y'all for helping to raise awareness of the poorest of the poor.
Well, if Murphy's on your team, you certainly won't finish last because he's an awesome player. I got the opportunity to play with him a few months ago with Father Green and Father Mark Miley. And Father Mark and Murphy whipped up on me and Father Green pretty well. So I know what kind of player he is.
Well, you know what I'm going to have to do is when I play on the 19th, I'm going to have to play with a scratch golfer, man. Is there any hope?
I already claimed Teddy, so I'm sorry. But you know, I remember the first year I played in it, I was so touched because you had brought some crosses that were actually made, I think, by the people in Haiti.
It was made, there were some, and then Earl So had also done some 1 year.
Okay.
This year we're going to, again, have a sleeve of golf balls with the logo on it for each player, and some shirts that are being done.
And those shirts are always so beautiful, with that logo. I mean, it's a great event. I mean, you know, the money's secondary. It's only $95 again, and you're talking about being fed all day. You know, having some beverages and also a nice ditty bag. But in the end, the important thing is where the funds are going, and that's to help you know, the poor in Haiti. And Father Glenn, God bless you for the work that you've done. You know, I'm retiring in January of next year, and I hope to maybe, you know, I have no talent.
Well, listen, we got a place for you.
I don't have too many talents, you know, as far as, you know, I could definitely find something to help out, and I think, you know, that would be an awesome way to try to give back to the blessings that God has given to me in my life.
Yeah, and listen, we got the pigs if you can make the gratins.
Oh, well, I don't know about the gratins, but I can do a pretty good pork roast, you know.
Well, a good Boston bud, huh?
I can do that. I can, look, pulled pork sandwiches, I can do that all day long. Absolutely.
And I got a barbecue pit.
Okay, all right. Well, we can do that. And maybe I could drag Teddy along with me. He could give golf lessons.
Might do that, yeah. Introduce golf into to the poor in Haiti. Well, Father Glenn, we certainly appreciate you coming on board, and Boxcar and I look forward to planning your tournament and supporting your efforts. And if you don't mind, say a prayer for me and Boxcar, and we'll see you down the road.
Teddy and Boxcar, thank you so much.
Thank
God bless you now.
Thank you.
Same to
you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And once
Father
again,
Glenn Moe.
Yes, that's the Haiti Mission Golf Tournament, Teddy. Hard to believe it's been going on for 23 years now. But I do remember playing in that kind of in its inaugural stages years ago. If you do want to get some more information, the Cross Catholic Outreach phone number, it's 800-914-2420, extension 155. Or even a better option might be to call Mr. Murphy Gilbo. That's how I got Father Glenn to call in tonight. He can be reached at 337-517-9776. 337-517-9776. The brochures to sign up are available at golfballs.com, one of our sponsors, and also at the Abbeville Country Club. Again, two-man, it's great format. Not six holes of metal play, six holes alternate shot, and six holes scramble. They have prizes for the top finishing teams, the longest drive, longest putt, most accurate drive, and the closest to the hole. And, of course, a lot of sponsorship availabilities also.
Yeah, and once again, if you're not a golfer, you can sponsor a team or any kind of sponsorship, you know,
yeah,
just to aid in Father Glenn Moe and his efforts there.
They have sponsorships ranging from $5,000 down to $250, and that's including player entries and hole signages and banners and things of that nature. But, again, if you've been blessed, if God has you know, rewarded you and you're prosperous and you can afford to give back to the – again, I mean, it was – at one time this tournament was called the Voice of the Voiceless, and it was literally the poor of the poorest. I mean, there's poor. You know, we perceive people – you know, even we know that are poor, but you can't imagine what poor is until, you know, you see what these people that have to, you know, walk miles and miles and miles just with a bucket to get a bucket of clean water, you know, or things like that, you know, and don't eat for days.
Yeah, like Father Glenn said, once you go, you know, you get converted yourself. He
right.
didn't have any aspirations of going. He didn't care, you know, about mingling up with the poor, rubbing elbows with them, and then,
right. and
you
then
know, God turned his heart
that's
around.
That's been his mission,
so,
right?
Yeah.
So
all right, we're going to take our first break, and then we'll be back in a bit. Stay tuned. You're listening to Chip Shots on Kane Radio.
For over 30 years, Squirrel Run Golf Club has been New Iberia's premier golf community. Opened in 1986, Squirrel Run has become known as a location for golf where the whole family can enjoy. Each year, new golfers are tested by a challenging 18 holes of golf. Golf tournaments and outings at Squirrel Run are great ways to get together on the golf course. Memberships are available for those interested in joining Squirrel Run. Reserve your next tee time with Squirrel Run by contacting the Pro Shop at 337-367-0863. Squirrel Run, Darby Lane, New Iberia.
The GolfBalls.com retail center features 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear and is the largest golf retailer in Louisiana. While it lasts, check out their summer clearance sale, where you'll find marked down prices on shirts, shoes, clubs, and more from brands such as Callaway, Bridgestone, Under Armour, and TaylorMade. Located in the Boulevard Shopping Center on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools, and, of course, online at golfballs.com. We're in your bag.
Broadcasting between the Tash and the Tracks, it's Kane Radio, AM 1240.
And welcome back to Chip Shots. Teddy Slim and Ralph Boxcar Bergeron with you here. 367-1240 is our number as we turn back now our attention to the local golf news that we started. And Boxcar did a good report on golfballs.com. So now we're going to move over to Squirrel Run, where today they aerified their greens. And it's a shame, Boxcar. You know, I played nine holes Sunday and before the rains came, but... you know, and the putting green, it is gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. And I said to myself, why in the heck are they going to punt? But then you get out on the course and you see, you know, like you said, because of the rain,
yeah.
a lot of the greens are starting to get that fungus, and they needed to do that. And, you know, it's just a shame, but it's something you have to do, especially down here in the South where there's so much humidity, the grass is susceptible to a lot of diseases, and fungus is one of them. And so they're doing that today. Hopefully they'll complete it because that club championship is coming up on the 19th and 20th. And let's see, Brody LeBlanc is the defending champion. They're going to have a senior and ladies flight there. A lot of the details aren't set yet, but Kevin assures that he's going to run a good tournament. And club championship is a lot of clubs have their club championship around this time of the year. Also coming up at Squirrel Run is the EP Bro Tournament. That's on the September 16th. And then Highland Baptist Tournament's coming up on September 29th. And then, of course, a big tournament that they're going to really try to get kicked off is the Jimmy Picard Memorial Golf Tournament. Jimmy Picard died a couple of years ago, a good friend of a lot of players there, and participated in a lot of betting games at Squirrel Run. And it's going to be a two-man team, and they're going to have four flights and honoring that man, along with a lot of other things. Of course, that's going to be in October, end of October. We got a lot of time to talk about that event. And then also for a limited time, I don't know if they're still offering it, but Squirrel Run's offering a discount on membership. You can do it for $100 a month for the first 6 months, and then you go to your regular fees after that. But still, it's a big saving, 30%. And if you want to play a quick round of golf, golfnow.com, you can book online at Squirrel Run and get a discount on daily play. And then at Spanish Trail, like I said, club championships are prevalent this time of the year around golf courses. They're going to have theirs the following weekend on the 26th and 27th. It's about $45 entry fee, and the deadline is August 24th to sign up. And just like Squirrel Run, they're going to have senior flight and ladies flight, and all the flights will be established by the handicaps where you play from. So whatever tees you play from, that's where your handicap and your flight's going to come from. And then tomorrow at Spanish Trail is ladies area play, kind of similar to our pro-ams where the ladies come from different clubs and they rotate the clubs and they play and keep their own special handicaps. And then special shots at Spanish Trail, eagle on number 10 by George Miller. And I like this one, Jacques Poirier on last Sunday eagled, well, Sunday before last, eagled the 17th hole, which is a hole in one, and he and his partner were playing an alternate shot match against somebody else. So that was quite a shock to that opposing team. Then congratulations to Sugar Oaks. I'm zipping through this so you and I can have some time to talk. Sugar Oaks was named the best of the test. Congratulations to Sugar Oaks. They got a bunch of tournaments coming up as well. The Lauraville 5th Annual Tiger Backers Golf Tournament is going to be Saturday, August the 19th, same day as we're going to Abbeville. Sorry we can't play in that, but can't be everywhere. It's a three-man scramble, 8 o'clock shotgun start, $125 per player. And then after, they're going to have some kind of party. Let's see. It's extravaganza golf tournament party held at the Harold Landry Building in Lauraville Park. And they're going to have beer and music and such. And then also at Sugar Oaks, the most recent Twilight Scramble was won by Paul Ladesur and Braden Landry, minus two. And let's see, tied for second with Jimmy Rogers, Kevin Joseph, Jim Frith, and Davis Dottrell. And then the Gator Golf Club, which stems out of Sugar Oaks, had two events recently. The most recent one at Atchafalaya, well, the second most recent one at Atchafalaya, Jim Welch, Elvis Babineau, Ted Sellers, Mitch Gaspar, Boyd Booty, and Bro Povo were all the winners in that tournament at Atchafalaya. And then at the Bluffs, they got a lot of rain but played through it. And the winners in the first flight there were David Mesh and Tom Grimsley with minus one. Second flight went to Tim Wu with a plus six. Kent Kern won the third flight with plus four. And Boyd Booty, the CEO and executive director of the Gator Golf Club, won the fourth flight, and he was plus five. Their next tournament is going to be at Tamaka Trails in Marksville. That's coming up this weekend. And I thank Boyd Booty for religiously bringing me these results, you know, going out of his way to do that. And me and Boxcar and such had a great time at Vermilion Oaks, where the site of the Father Glenn Moe tournament is going to be. In fact, we're going to be going there quite a bit, Boxcar, because the Pro-Am again is going to be in September. We're going to play there on the 19th, so we ought to be really familiar with that course. But first place went to the team of Victor Huckabee, Nolan Granger, Gilbert Boudreau, and Matt Hebert. They were plus 18, almost a perfect score, winning $90 each. 88 players teed it up in that tournament. Brody LeBlanc had a 65, wow, and was a low amateur. Victor was plus 8 and low A player. Cody Hulin, plus 9, he was a low B player. And Don Sarkis, plus 10, was a low C player. And Curly Romero, with plus 6, was the low golf professional. And just a little bit on LSU. The LSU girls, former LSU girls golf team, They literally doubled its pleasure Sunday at the All-Americas and got selected to the Solheim Cup. Austin Ernst and Madeline Stagstrom both were selected as captain's pick for the Solheim Cup, and, of course, both on different teams, as Madeline was chosen by Annika Sorensen for the European team and Austin by Julie Inkster for the American team. And then coming up is the United States Amateur Championship, and that's going to be at Bel Air Country Club and Riviera Country Club, both in Pacific Palisades, California, a suburb of Los Angeles, both premier golf courses, and August 14th through 20th. Well, LSU is going to have a huge presence there, as five of their players will be playing. Nathan Johnson, Blake Caldwell, Philip Barbary all qualified, while Eric Ricard and Sam Burns were exempt. So,
can I put my prediction in on who's going to be the low LSU player?
I got it. Well, yeah.
Sam Burns.
I got to go with you there, buddy. Yeah, he's and then he's going to turn professional right shortly after that. I think that might be – I don't know if he's playing in the Walker Cup, which is – I don't know if it's this year or not, to tell you the truth, but that would be, you know, an aspiration of his, I'm sure, to play in that. But that's usually in September. So maybe he is, and then he'll turn pro after that. But, yeah, you got to look for big things from him, because he I think he finished sixth or eighth in that first PGA Tour tournament where he got an exemption. You got any local stuff?
No. Mm-hmm. The only other thing I had was, and I forgot to bring it down, was the tournament that Jerome and I usually play in. They have the J-Town Showdown coming up in Jennings. It's actually the week after the Father Glenn tournament, so it's going to be on the 26th and 27th. It's a two-day tournament, and that's 150 a player. But that was the only other thing. So
Abbeville was debating whether to move their tournament, their club championship, because of that, because of not only you and Jerome, but a lot of their players, a lot of players from New Iberia area go play in that tournament. And kind of like Father Glenn, most tournaments have been established for quite some time.
Yeah. No, I mean, the only other thing, I mean, I guess, was, again, just to kind of, you know, look back on last Thursday. And you know, we had a lot of bad reviews coming out of Abbeville, but the golf course was in great condition.
I enjoyed it.
They had two greens that were so-so. The rest were immaculate and actually had good speed to them. And the two that were so-so, that they were actually smart enough to put the pins in places where the sand and stuff didn't come into play. So it played long.
That's the thing. Comment I was going to make. It surprisingly played a little longer than it normally does, you know. And yet the scores were – you know,
they were
lower.
I mean, I was surprised, you know, because, I mean, I thought I did okay shooting just one over my points and you know, a couple of dumb mistakes. But
neither you nor I may hit the board.
You had a great round. No, we never do. Of course, I don't know how Taylor Martin hit the board, because all I heard was he made three bogeys on his – but he was establishing, so he was one of those go any more than – minus one or two or whatever, you know. So
I'm trying to look it up again, because I suspect some chicanery anyway, because one person finished, Bob Deloney finished twice. He finished
A saw
player
that.
And B player.
I did see that.
Kevin needs to
Yeah,
so not gonna make that comment. My old boy Kevin.
If he goes to collect that credit, I'd run to the pro shop while you still have a. It's like
Bob should, huh?
And that was second place. Yeah, you know, I was like,
yeah, I'm trying
like
to find where it is.
$80 or maybe like first place was 90 a person, so second was probably 70 something.
Right, something.
So yeah, you better run to the pro shop. They ought to probably won. So I just to let you know that I took the last dozen when I was there Saturday.
Buy a couple of cases of beer. What the heck?
I don't know. Yeah, they usually give gift cards out over there.
Yeah,
huh?
Same as Opelousas, Indian Hills.
Yeah, pretty cool.
All right, we'll take another break, and then we'll be back to talk about PGA Tour and coming up the PGA Championship. Stay tuned. You're listening to Chip Shots on Kane Radio.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew! Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
TheGolfBalls.com Retail Center features 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear and is the largest golf retailer in Louisiana. While it lasts, check out their summer clearance sale, where you'll find marked down prices on shirts, shoes, clubs, and more from brands such as Callaway, Bridgestone, Under Armour, and TaylorMade. Located in the Boulevard Shopping Center on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools, and, of course, online at golfballs.com. We're in your bag.
Find us online and streaming at Kane1240.com.
Kane Radio, AM 1240.
And welcome back to Chip Shots. Teddy Sliman, Rob Boxcar, Bezor in the air chair here, talking a little golf. Now we turn our attention to the national scene. So if you want to jump on board and give us your comment on the golf that went on the national scene on TV this weekend, 367-1240 is our number. And Boxcar, I watched it. I got to watch the WGC Firestone tournament. As I like I told you, I only played nine holes, and of course I know you were at your baptism around 2:30.
Yeah.
So
I almost called you actually when we texted me at 3:30, and I almost called to see if I if you were watching the tournament. I was gonna come over and watch the end with you, but by that time it was just kind of a long day, and so I decided head on back.
But, no, you were certainly welcome. You should have. You can drop in any time.
Yeah, but I wasn't sure if you had the grandkids and stuff, so I didn't want to impose. But I did get back to watch it also, and what an impressive victory by Hideki Matsuyama. It was more than impressive. I mean, here's a guy that had a great wraparound season and early part of the season, and kind of hit that plateau, and it's such a long golf season now. I mean, it's basically year-round.
I don't know if he's hit a plateau.
Well, he did. He's got
six victories in three runner-ups in the last 20 tournaments.
Right. But
that's one-third of the tournaments he won or finished
second. But he had about four or five where he either missed the cut. I'm talking and of this because of the fantasy golf that I'm in, okay?
Okay, I guess you don't know how hard this game is.
I know how hard this game is, okay?
Apologize.
And squarely, this puts him in that list of players. You know, we always talking about Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, all these, But, I mean, this kid's what, 25?
25, and he's won six times in the last 20 months. That's
so,
2 years.
All that
less
he does
than 2 years.
Right. All that's missing from his resume right now is a major championship, and easily that could happen next week at Quail Hollow,
Absolutely. He's got to be one of the favorites. I think, the prognosticators think Rory McIlroy is the favorite, Jordan Spieth, but Hideki's right up there with him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my opinion. I don't know,
No, I totally agree because I think
between he and Dustin Johnson, they've won the last five WGC World Golf Championship events.
Wow.
So
that's incredible.
Yeah, and Dustin's starting to play better.
Yeah, and again, we're talking about you're not beating, a regular PGA Tour field here. These are the elite players, and when you beat them by, you shoot a 61 on the final day when the average field score is about maybe, 70, if that, that's ridiculous. I mean,
nine under par, the previous record was 61, and he played with the guy who set it. Of course, it was Tiger Woods in 2013 in the second round, and Hideki was paired with Tiger, and he said he thought about that with three holes to go. He said, I need to birdie in to tie Tiger, and the sucker did it. And that's what's incredible, He put an additional little pressure on himself because he won by five strokes. So,
right.
But your boy Charlie Hoffman, man, you got to be impressed with him and his caddy. I'm sure you read a little bit about their exchange on the 16th hole, iconic 16th hole.
Yeah, he said, "I'm trying to win this tournament,"
But tired finishing second.
If he could just hit his putts a little bit firmer, I mean, they just finished in the jaw, 2 inches short. It's like, oh my gosh, I was good. So
I think he's going to be a sleeper for the PGA. He finished second a couple of weeks ago in Canada. He finished second in Arnold Palmer's tournament back in the spring, and he's finished third a couple of times. He finished third this week. I like Charlie Hoffman. I mean,
so. He's having a great year. I mean, he's, you know, almost at $4 million now. And, yeah, I mean, I think this, you know, PGA, again, you have to, I think you go back to the PGA Tour of Venequil Hollow. You can kind of look at the players that have played well there in the past and kind of get a pattern for who might be, you know, the horse for the course, so to speak. But
you say that, but they've made massive changes on that course. They redid four holes. Like a par three is now a par five. They took out 1,000 trees. They changed the grass, which is the biggest thing on the greens, to a more, and like we talked about fungus and disease in the south, it changed to a Bermuda grass that's more disease tolerant. You know, with the new grasses, the way they what they call hybridum, they're susceptible to diseases because they're not as strong as like what they have at
the
Sugar Oaks.
Bermuda,
and by the way, Sugar Oaks' greens are the best around right now. I got to say that. But that grass, that 328's been there, and those roots are really deep, so it's hard to destroy that grass. But Quail Hollow is going to be a different animal, you know. And they were saying it's similar a lot now to Tom Fazio. By the way, redid it completely. Redid four or five holes that are massive. The opening hole is a 500-yard par four.
Wow!
It's 7,600-yard par 71.
Dang.
Yeah, that's...
I didn't know that.
That's pretty... Well, they did it specifically for this tournament. As you remember, back in the day, in the 60s, it opened up, and they used to have the Kemper Open. Remember, we had Sugar Oaks? We used to have the... It was like a tournament to correspond
right.
with. They go side by side.
Who is the insurance guy that...
Yeah, it wasn't Jan Kemp's. It was...
It was... their insurance agency was right down the...
Yeah,
right,
and he'd come run the tournament all the time. He'd give us film of the tournament, from the previous year. Yes, I can't remember it either. Both of we have lost those brain cells.
I thought it was Cliff Oakland, but he was mayor. But Cliff wasn't.
We'll think about it probably when we're not trying.
I still have in my closet at home. My Kemper Open putter that I won because I won the Ned Division 1 year.
Did you really?
I shot 78 with a 19 handicap and almost got lynched. I did shoot a 59. Technically, I did shoot a 59. Yes, I did. And I have my gold-plated Kemper Open putter that I still have retained over all these years. One day, my son, I mean, he was young, but he brings up, he says, "Hey, Dad, look at this cool putter that I found." He said, "I'm going to try it out." I said, "Oh, no, you're not." I said, "Yeah, that's not for use." I mean, it was, you know, just gold-plated, but it still held a place in my heart, you know.
That was a big tournament. A lot of people played because I worked out there a couple of years.
Yes,
you know, for Don Rutherford.
A big tournament.
A lot of interest in that tournament, and it always paralleled the Kemper Open tournament. Maybe the weekend before, I can't remember exactly that.
Good, I mean, I hate to always say it was the good old days, but I mean, we used to have the City Open Championship, the Parish Open, we had the Kemper Open, the individual tournaments. You know that you never see anymore. You know,
I was talking to somebody about that, and I can't remember who recently. That, you know, well, it was Dr. Randy Dugas, and I told you I saw him on the putting green at Squirrel Run. But, you know, because he grew up in that era, too, where he played in the tournaments, you know, the city, the parish, what have you.
Right.
And I'm dead certain that's the ruination of golf is scrambles because it doesn't teach you the responsibility of hitting your own ball and completing the hole. That's a whole different animal. When you shot that 78, you had to putt out every putt and make every putt. There was no kickbacks or whatever.
No mulligans. You didn't buy, you know.
Right.
You know.
And you had a sense of responsibility like, whoa, what I got to do to finish this hole, you know?
Right.
And you played smart.
I still remember. I mean, I'd like to know how many feet cumulatively I made a putt that day because it was just stupid. You know, I just remember making a putt on 16 that must have been 50 feet or more,
wow.
You know, for a birdie. And just, but it was, I still got that old putter, man. That's my one trophy in golf. I've won a couple
of
that I've kept, over all these years.
All right, look, we'll clear our last break and then we'll be back to wrap it up, talk about the PGA Championship and such. Stay tuned. You're listening to Chip Shots on Kane Radio.
For over 30 years, Squirrel Run Golf Club has been New Iberia's premier golf community. Opened in 1986, Squirrel Run has become known as a location for golf where the whole family can enjoy. Each year, new golfers are tested by a challenging 18 holes of golf. Golf tournaments and outings at Squirrel Run are great ways to get together on the golf course. Memberships are available for those interested in joining Squirrel Run. Reserve your next tee time with Squirrel Run by contacting the Pro Shop at 337-367-0863. Squirrel Run, Darby Lane, New Iberia.
We have a new player on the field and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola. And the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew! Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
All the sweetness without the bagasse. Kane Radio, AM 1240.
All right, welcome back to Chip Shots with Teddy and Boxcar, our last segment of golf. 367-1240 is our number. And now we turn our attention to the last major of the year, the PGA Championship. Going to be played at Quail Hollow like we talked about earlier. But some other breaking news from the Associated Press. They learned that the PGA Championship is going to be moving from May for the first time in 70 years to go to Bethpage Black in New York in 2019, and Boxcar and I, you and I kind of predicted that, talked about that with the movement of moving the PGA Championship from August to May and the Players Championship from May to March. And then, you know, like we talked about, ending up the wraparound season will end up around Labor Day when the football season starts. And I think that's a great idea.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to the PGA. I mean, I think it's wide open, obviously. The big talk here is whoever wins this could especially if one of the players that has had a great year so far, like Matsuyama, like Jordan Spieth, or Koepka, that already have majors under their belt. I mean, and Sergio, you know, Player of the Year is up for grabs too,
right,
on the PGA Tour. So I think obviously with the other wins, if Matsuyama would win this one, you'd have four different major winners, and I think that would probably wrap him up a Player of the Year. But if somehow Koepka or Spieth or Garcia could either win or finish real high.
Justin Thomas, you got to put him in that group. He's got two wins this year, and if he wins a major, he might be up there.
Maybe so.
You know, I mean, that's he's a young buck that's been up there.
It's hard to believe, though. Just a few years ago, at this point in the season, Player of the Year was a foregone conclusion. We all knew who it was going to be, you know. So it's kind of exciting to have this, you know,
it's kind of mixed,
this drama. Yeah. And again, I think golf's in a great place right now. I think it's just harder than ever to be dominant, though, you know. And I think that's why, you know, Spieth's kind of his kind of mini, you know, run that he's had so far at his age is pretty impressive in the majors, you know, because
because that's the other headlines is a Grand Slam. You know, if Jordan wins, he becomes the youngest player ever to win the Grand Slam, and he would join Gene Sarazen, Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, Gary Player, and Ben Hogan. He would be the sixth in that elite group of winning the Grand Slam, you know, the career Grand Slam, not the Grand Slam, as all of them in 1 year. But Jack took 125 times to do it. Tiger, 93 starts before he could do it. So Jordan could be the youngest to do it. Tiger was 24. And, you know, it's just it's a lot at stake, you know, and he's welcoming it. So I kind of like that.
And whether or not he gets it done, I don't know. But I guarantee you one thing. He'll, you know, more – I'd say 75% chance and more – he'll be in the mix teeing off Sunday, you know, because the guy, again, I was watching him this weekend, and it just amazes me, you know, what he gets out of his game, you know, because there's so many guys with better swings than him, you know, and He grinds.
But there's no one with more grit. That's exactly it.
And he gets the ball in the hole, and he has a desire to win. You know,
all of the other five players that have won the Grand Slam, after they had the opportunity to do it, it took them no more than 3 years. So, mm-hmm. I think, like you said, he's going to be in the mix Sunday, regardless of whether he wins or not. And I kind of hope he does it. I mean, it'd be exciting for golf for sure.
Great. Absolutely great. You know, before, again, like you said, before we get to the real football season, to have that focus on golf, that would be great.
Listen to the list of people who failed to do it, won three, and then didn't make it with Hall of Fame careers.
Tom Watson.
Oh yeah, Arnold Palmer, Tom Watson, Sam Snead never won the PGA. Byron Nelson, Lee Trevino, of course, never won the Masters. Ray Floyd, and of course, modern day, those that still have a chance of playing, Phil Mickelson, six runner-ups in the U.S. Open, wow. Never won. That's got to eat away at him, especially the one at Wingfoot. And of course, Rory, but Rory's got the Masters, and like you alluded to last week when I asked you that question, he's got the best opportunity because that's played on the same course.
Oh, yeah.
And his game is super suited for Augusta National.
I still think, if he at some point, if he decides to just play the PGA Tour, primarily, he would be ridiculous on this tour, because,
what they said, he had
52 of his 56 drives were 300 yards or more.
God,
that's stupid. That's absurd, I just think, he plays 12 to 14 events stateside every year. He'll probably play maybe three out of the four FedEx Cup events. That might bring him back 15 events. But he could dominate if he played here at 22, 24 events per year. I still think he's the best player in the world.
I agree with you. This tournament here, this golf course, is set up for him because it's a large, big golf. 7,600-yard par 71. Right. Firestone was par 70, but it was like 7,200 yards. So you're talking about 400 extra yards and one more.
Right off the bat, he and Dustin Johnson come to the, to my mind, mm-hmm. As far as the golf course suiting their length for sure, But
to me, with Rory, it's his putter. It's either hot or cold,
Yeah.
And I guess the same with Dustin. Sometimes he just misses putts that are very uncharacteristic. Of course, you can say that about Jordan Spieth in the British Open too, because that first 9 holes he was missing uncharacteristic putts.
And it'll be interesting to see if Rory does get into the heat of contention on Sunday, or even the weekend. Will he really, will he miss J.P. Fitzgerald all of a sudden? Right now it seems to be a pretty good little relationship he has with his caddy.
Yeah.
But it's more like friends right now, But when you're talking about trying to win a major, that might be a different kind of pressure. But
right.
You did want to mention this, Ted, that, kudos to Chris Stroud because, of course, we all were focused on the WGC event this weekend, but they had an opposite field event in Reno. For the guys who didn't qualify for the WGC, and Chris Stroud had played in 289 golf tournaments in his PGA Tour career. Well, he recorded 9 birdies and an eagle in regulation, including eagling the 72nd hole to force a playoff that made a pair of birdies in overtime to beat rookie Richie Wierenski. So he has now officially ended his droughtless streak and can add the moniker of PGA Tour winner to his resume.
Okay, I got to ask you this question. There was a lot of hype about Steph Curry playing in the Web.com Tour, he did respectable, I think, and so does a lot of the media. 74-74, missed a cut by 11 shots, but a lot of people complaining, he took a sponsor's exemption. Hmm. So what's your take on that?
I have no problem with that at all because the exposure that the tour got from that. And look, number one, I think he probably would have shot better than a sponsor's exemption shot anyway. 74-74.
Pretty respectable.
Very respectable, considering we're not talking about bumping the ball and playing like, we play on weekends.
No.
This is a golf course set up, and he beat a lot of Web.com Tour pros that play out there.
Every day, too, and practicing every day. This guy's not practicing every day.
Half status. No,
I like it too. I agree with you. It's good for the game. If something's good for the game, just suck it up and take your licks.
That's why they have money qualifying. If you don't need a sponsor. If you're
on that fringe player, go Monday.
Play better.
And get in there, you know. But
simple
you know,
answer.
Sponsors exemptions, I mean, I would have no problem if next year the Louisiana Open would give Mike Conlon a sponsors exemption. I know he can't. You know, we saw what he did. No, I'm serious.
No, I agree
but
with
he
you.
He would draw people there, yeah. You know. It give them, you know.
Oh, yeah, a lot of local people you know, would follow him, I mean, sure. Steph Curry had a lot of following.
Well, good. God, did he get – and, I mean, it was the national headline. It was, you know, all over Golf Channel and all. So anytime you can get that kind of exposure for your event, no, I mean, that's to me, that's a no-brainer. I just want to mention this, too, because kind of a – it's funny how time flies by because it seems like just a couple of, you know, shows ago we were talking about this topic. But Sangmun Bae is already ready to return to professional golf after completing his two-year tour in the South Korean military.
Wow.
Yeah, his let's see. He's going to make his debut. I had this somewhere on September 14th at Bear's Best Chignanga Golf Club at the Shanghai Dunghan Open. So that'll be his return, and he had to start serving his country after he completed the 2015 President's Cup in his home country. So. You know, that's another guy, you know, kind of, you know, away from the game for a couple of years. You forget about him. But that was another bright young player also. That
it doesn't seem like it's been that long since we've talked about him, you know, in this very show that he served 2 years.
But he did do his service. And kudos to him. I know it's not wasn't exactly like it was his choice, you know, because he did try to get an exemption. But But, you know, when it comes down to it, he did what he had to do for his country. And, of course, with the conflict we're seeing with North Korea, you know, I mean, we certainly need South Korea to be strong military-wise. So I do admire him for fulfilling his service to his country.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
And another thing about Hideki, you know, he's from Japan. And if he would happen to win the PGA, he'd be the first person from Japan.
If he wins the PGA, it's going to change the PGA Tour forever because there'll be so much Japanese media. Well, there'll be so much to begin with at Quill Hollow.
Yeah.
But what I'm telling
if he wins, he'll be the first, you know, which would be a milestone.
It makes him a rock star over there.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, it's amazing. But anyway, we'd like to thank once again our special guest, Father Glenn Moe, for appearing on the show. Please support his golf tournament August 19th in Abbeville, as Teddy and I will do. And we'll see you next week on Chip Shots.
K-A-N-E Radio, AM 1240, New Iberia, the voice of the Tash.